Holy scriptures we respect because they are the words given out by this master to pay the power. You see? For that reason. And the places, holy places of worship, you see, they are the places where men sit together and say the praises of God. In all these outer temples, mosques, and churches are made after the image of man. Dome-shaped or nose-shaped. Churches are nose-shaped, and all of the temples are dome-shaped at night. And within that, you see the light of God. See? Body is the temple of God, generally, which is given out by all saints. You know, says the same thing? That body is the true temple of God, in which you see the light of God. Prophet Muhammad also says the same thing, your body is the true mask, in which God is eyes. Guru Nanak went to Persia and met there a Mohammedan saint called Rukundi. He asked Guru Nanak, well, what that temple is in God is eyes, can you define that temple? He said, yes. And he gave a very beautiful, glowing sound, the description of the body of the man, you see. He says it, God has a dome. He says it has God, you see, 12, I mean, outer extensions. This, you see, yeah. This one portion, this is 2 and 3. 3 and 3, 6 and 3. Each leg, 12. And it has got 52, I mean, corner. 32 teeth and 20 nails. He says, in fact, house, above God is eyes. He speaks from above, and we hear him not. So all this gives the description of the body of man and the true temple of God. You see, this is what also Corinthians said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, he says, what does he say? If any man defile the temple of God, what is the result? Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So this is what Lord of heaven dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with man's hands. This is teaching you by man. He says the true temple is the body you are carrying, this 5-6 feet high body. In this is the temple of God in which you see the light of God. Outer temples and other places of holy pilgrimages were raised in the form of, after the image of a man. There they kept the light, candle of light, and the sound of the bell. Symbols of the light and the sound current reverberating in each heart. That was a symbol made outside to make you understand that the light like that within you, and such like sound going on within you. That the voice of Paul heard within each one. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell it with them. This is what the first ABC, the teaching starts with there. You see, in India, people do ask me, I just started a common ground for all. My master ordered me to have a common ground for all men, for all seekers after truth, irrespective of the fact to which particular religion they belong. If they remain in the Vatya, should be a common ground, with no temple, with no ceremonies, no rituals, no special forms of wishing, you see. So each religion has got its own mode of wishing you, each other. Just like that. I got a very glossy plot, and of course a shed, big shed just to give you protection from rain and sun, and that's all. People come and all men of all religions come and sit on the same platform, that glassy ground, and we take up all scriptures of the Master to King Jiva. They ask me what particular temple you have raised. I tell them that the body is the two temples of God, you see. In which you can see the light of God and hear the voice of God. When you enter in, tap inside what Emerson says, you see. And outwardly I told him will be earth below and sky overhead, the whole world is a temple of God. Which is that place where God does not reside. You see? So the teachings of the Master start from here. The very first thing. Those who have made the outer religions as a business centers, excuse me now, they simply devote. They say, what is like this? They go against such men. What did Christ do, you see? You see, simply went to the synagogue and said, turn ye out, go ye out, Pharisees. You have made the synagogues the centers of business, you see. These are my house, the house of my father is the only place you descend, you see. Well, when there is some dross attached to the truth by the so-called priesthood, I would say, or the ignorance of the people, are for those selfish, with selfish motives, some master comes up, he just drives out the draws from the, and leaves the original thing, let the people take up to that original thing. So this is the first thing you will teach you. He said, alright, when you just learn that much from the Master, then he says, well, how can you find, you see? How can you find if he's inside, you see? Can we see him? Then yes, you can see him. When you transcend these outgoing faculties, the organs of sense, not before. Now our, you see, through eyes and organs of sense, our soul is just peeping out under the control of mind. When you come about the body consciousness, these organs of sense, only then you will be able to see, not before. And further, what he says, that if he's inside, why do we not see him? He says, this ego of the body, I am the body, the separateness which you have found. We were the indweller of the house, this was the wonderful house in which we were living. You were living in this wonderful house, and God was also living in the wonderful house, you see. But as we just become the body itself, this egoism of the physical body, that stands in the way. You must come up, know yourself, then you know God. He gives this teaching to the world, as in that problem. Now these teachings are common to all humanity, I tell you. Outward form of the religions may be different. Their mode of prayers, rituals, ceremonies may be different. But the purpose is the same, my dear. To say it in a Christian church, bareheaded is a sign of respect. But to sit in a Sikh temple with covered head is a sign of respect. Outwardly these two appear to be quite diametrically opposite. But the purpose is the same. When you sit in a holy temple place, in a respectful mood. That's all. So there are some like that differences in non-essential too, but if you just look into the two important things, you'll find purpose is the same. He does not say simply, read only scripture and you'll be saved. Guru Nanak says you'll be reading the scripture for days and days together, for months and months together, for years and years together, for your, the whole of your life, you will not see God. By reading alone, you may be reading all through life. That's untrue. You live up to what the scriptures say. They say you transcend the body. You come above the body consciousness. You must be come above the sense of organs of sense. Only then your inner eye will open and you will be able to see God. It's very clear cut teachings of all masters who came to the body. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of. Enter ye the kingdom of heaven with single eye. Everybody says it. Teachings are there. Now the reason further arises, why people are, if that is so, God is within us. It is like a look here. You have respect, we have respect for the all holy scriptures. We have respect for all holy masters who came in the past. We have respect for all holy places of worship. We have respect for all places of pilgrimages. For the reason, because they have some connection with the masters. We love scriptures because those are the utterings of the masters. Those are the words given out by the mouth of the masters. They are extremes. Therefore, we love, we respect the scriptures. We love all holy places of worship because the prayers of having God is are done there. We love the places of pilgrimages, for those are the places where some master did live. Otherwise, the land is the same, you see. There is no difference on one place than the other, except that some master lived over there. Prophet Muhammad lived in Mecca and Medina. That is the place of pilgrimage of all Mohammedan world. Christ was born in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place of worship of all Christian world, you see. Guru Nanak was born in a place Talwandi called Nankana Sahib. That is the place of worship for all Sikh world, you see. When one master remained at two different or three different or ten different places, all those places become places of pilgrimage. So, you find the difference between the two. Kabir says, well, I am in a strange position, people are going amiss. Who is the greater, the master or the place of the pilgrimage? You see? Place of pilgrimage owes its greatness only because certain masters lived over there. And certain masters have been to different places, all those places are places of pilgrimage. So that is, truly speaking, you find that masters are greater than the places of pilgrimages. Masters are greater than all the scriptures of the world. Why? These scriptures came out of the mouth of the masters. For that reason. And why we love the master? Because he's the mouthpiece of God. We love God only. This is the teaching given by a true master. Now question, why have you forgotten it? He said, we are in a delusion. First of all, we have to know ourselves. We are not the bodies which we are carrying, see? We are something which are infusing life into the body. We are the indwellers of the body. And we are to leave someday this body, that day which is called the day of death, or the day of the great final change. That death is no bugbear. I come from India, I am alive. I am no more in India. But if you transcend the body, at the time of death, or now you are in a way competent to go up with the guidance of those who do leave the body at home. Well, you simply leave the body, the transfer from the physical plane to the higher plane. That's all. We are, as it were, become the body itself. We are passing in a grand delusion, you see. At the time of death, we do wake up. We say, oh, we are leaving this body in all its possessions and environments. We simply shed to tears and pass away. That's all. See, the whole world is in a delusion, you see. And everybody is sleeping, not awakened. He only awakens at the time of death, you see, when the death overtakes. He opens his eyes, he leaves the body. He says, how can that be unless you come out of this delusion? You see the indweller of the house which you are carrying. That is, you know yourself by self-analysis. This delusion cannot be set aside. Then further he says, it is a very strange thing that this body which you are carrying, you reside in this house. You are the indweller of this body. Of course it is a wonderful house we live in. You see? But you have to leave this body. And all holy scriptures, all masters say that God also resides in you. Two brothers, soul and God, live in the same house, but soul does not see God. How pitiful it is. Two brothers living in the same building, you see, in the same house, but not seeing each other. Is it not pitiful? Have you ever cared? You see, we do read scriptures, and scriptures do tell us what? The God resides in every heart. Scriptures also say you also are in this body. But have we ever cared to know where is God within? We are simply seeking God in these holy scriptures by that, only reading of the holy scriptures, and attending the holy temples, places of holy worship, or running up to visit various places of worship, and pilgrimage. Says, do not tell that you do not do that. That's only elementary, placing ground. But they say the true God lives within you. For that you will have to invert, transcend the body consciousness. You will have to open the inner eye with the see things for your own self. Well, you will be convinced. He says very strange thing. In one house, always accompanying you with you, God is, soul of your soul. See? And you do not know Him. Strange enough. Instead of finding Him inside, we are trying to find out Him outside, you see. In books. In temples. Which are made after the image of man. You see? We have respect for all those things, but just comparative. You see, by discrimination. And Master laid these things before you to wake you up. What we are doing and what we should do. These are all the means to the end, you see. Make the best use of them. But if at all you have to see the light of God, therefore that purpose you will have to transcend the body consciousness. Inward, tap inside. He says, there's very valuable thing, you see, most precious thing is within you all, and that is the divine link, you see, which is called by the Word in Christianity. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and Word was God, you see. This is what the Holy Scripture says. And the same was in the beginning with God, you see. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was endured. This is what Guru Nanak another says, when the whole world was made by Nam, you see. Similar here, they say, all heavens were made by the Word, you see. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There comes forth from heaven. All creation is being upholded, upholding all things by the word of his power. I'm just giving these references only to show that power, that divine thing which sustains, maintains, supports all creation, that valuable thing is lying within you, each one of you. That is an everlasting thing, the gross withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. This was further. You find in the Hebrew, you see. So my point is, you see, that until there is a divine link in each man, Guru Arjuna says, until you come in contact with that, these five passions are attacking you, robbing you of all the nobleness of your soul. You want to just be saved by their attacks, what you should do? Come in contact with that divine link. When can you contact that divine link? Only when you come above the organs of sense. That divine link has light, gives forth light, and you come in contact with it. That divine link gives you the voice of God, the sound principle reverberating in all creation, which is called the music of the spheres by Plato. That is it. Thy word is lamp unto my feet. It was light. There is something, you see the light like a candle, you see it burning in the room. This is something like that given the Bible as well, you see. So, if you come in contact with that thing, only then you will be saved by the attacks of the five passions. As you do not come in contact with that, these, we are under the control of the five passions. These five passions attack us from where? Lust attacks us to the eyes. Anger is just flared up through the ears. As you are angry, somebody tells you that anger is further flared up, you see, by hearing the words. Similar, there are avenues through which these passions attack you. When you transcend about these things, you are safe from the attacks of these passions. This wonderful house, you are being robbed away by five passions. If you want to save yourself, the only thing is that you come in contact with the divine link within you. There is that divine link life. It is life above the body consciousness, when you come above the organs of sense. Now, how to enter the kingdom of God with that spirit? All these things lie in you, that divine lies within you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So how to do that? Guru Arjuna further says, well, look here, it is just like a house which is locked up from outside, and you want to enter inside, what will you do then? The key of that house has been just is under the custody of somebody. If you want to enter the house, you must unlock the door first and then you can enter the house. Until you go to somebody, to the person who has got the key of that house, and he gives you that, he opens the door for you, you can enter the body, house only then. Similarly, says, this body is the house of God. You live in it, but it is locked up from within. you cannot transcend into the beyond, you see. You are just like a loft of room in a house. You want to enter into the kingdom of God. God has locked it up and given the key to your master. You see? Now if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you must go to the person who has got key of that. He will open that for you. How? He will give you a sitting. He will give you a personal experience how to come about the body consciousness. He will open the door first inside. You will see the title. That's the only way out. It is a practical subject which you have to learn at the feet of some competent practical master. Why am I adding again two words, competent and practical, you see? Because the world is full of masters. There are so many masters in the world that people have become fed up with the name of the master. The true master is legitimate. It is not simply giving us some words or incantations for repetition, or it's giving some lecture. No. True greatness of a master lies in the fact that he can use some personal experience of transcending the body consciousness, opening of the inner eye, seeing the light of God within, with your own inner eyes, and hear the voice of God with the emotions. Who can do that? He is a man. So this body is a locked up house from within. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God until you go to somebody who can open that for you. And who is that? Who is competent to open that? He is called a man. Just for entering one house, you have to run up to the man who got the key of the house. He'll open it for you. Similarly, you want to enter into the kingdom of God that is locked up from within, you see. You have to rise up into that. You have to be born anew. Except until you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to just transcend, be born in the new world, you see. That door is locked up. That is it. You see what Christ says, you see? Many there are who will be seeking and find it not, that door within, you see, it is locked up. Until somebody who is coming, making it, and you have that personal experience and go on day to day. This is what Guru Arjuna is saying, you see. You may be doing hundreds of other matters until you go to the man who has got the key. Really, you see, you cannot enter the kingdom. That is why Christ said. And others whom the Son of Man reveals, I just quoted you before. What he says further, he says, whosoever God wishes to liberate from the wheel of deaths and births, to rise above the body conscious and be God, such a person is brought in contact with the true master. And it is from above. How a blind man can catch some man who is with the eyes, you see? If an eyed man has got eyes on his face, he takes pity on the blind man, he just gives his hand into his hand, look here, I've come. Only then the blind man can catch the man who's got eyes. What does it mean? Within his eyes not open, you see. How can you find out a master? The such and such is the master. What is the criterion with which we can just see that such and such can only be master? By outer form, by outer propaganda, you'll find many things are going on. Everywhere there's propaganda, you see. But how many they are all really who can give you personal experience?
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last half of Master's farewell talk given in Beaumont, California on August the 1st, 1955. Our reader this evening is Marcia Crosby.
Good evening, everyone. This reading is from Spiritual Elixir Part 2, which is excerpts from the Master's letters to his disciples. I'm reading the section entitled Mind and Soul, and I'm starting kind of in the middle. Fear is not good and should be discarded. By giving your worries over to the ever-present, gracious Master Power working overhead. Fear is always based on some unknown apprehension, and one should look at it squarely, and then it will flee in no time, as it is a result of your self-created frustration. Loving humility and piety are the noble virtues which grant complete refuge to the child disciple and help to face the hazards of physical life. It is the essence of right understanding to be contented with whatever comes, as it is invariably flavored with divine mercy, and it is for our spiritual benefit. Spiritual aspirants revel in this superb understanding. Your brave and courageous attitude in meeting the situation surely will bless you with inner harmony and peace. There will be moments in the course of developing love for the Master when one, judging from one's own limited understanding, doubts the validity of the Master's instructions. But such moments are only tests to make our self-surrender more complete and more secure. And he who passes through these tests successfully will one day radiate with the glory of God. Nam keeps the mind and body in a state of equipoise. Peace reigns supreme in its devotee. The ramifications of mind are done away with forever. All lusts cease to have their hold on the mind. The brain receives a soothing balm. It puts an end to wasteful hurry, and with it go all nervous tensions, mental strain, and stress. Nam gives one immunity from all bodily and worldly pains and troubles. By withdrawing the attention within, the mind is stilled, and the soul is freed of all mental conflicts. All sense of ego fades into nothingness. Love for the Master and complete surrender to his will have always been the teachings of all mystics, and especially so of Sant Mat. Your main task as a disciple and as an initiate is to cultivate these qualities to the very utmost and leave the rest to the Master. There will, of course, be moments of doubt and of questioning, but if you can pass through them with your love and your faith unscathed, you will find the spiritual road within steadily unfolding itself before you, and all things being added unto you. In your letter, I note that you have an earnest desire for enlightenment and wish to find freedom of the soul. Those who yearn for the Lord, arrangements are made in his divine dispensation to fulfill these yearnings. Please study the teachings of the Masters in fuller detail, and when you have done so, you may please apply on the prescribed form available from the local representative for the practical part, which is the linking with the godly light and the heavenly music within, which is to be developed from day to day under the protection and guidance of the competent Master. You will appreciate that it is the constantly agitated mind which interferes most with inner progress, and the best way to enchain it is to bind it with some disciplined routine, which is conducive to regular spiritual practices. It is during the sublime moments of meditation, when the child disciple is attuned with the infinite to benefit from the incessant flow of divine grace, and it is then that the rare boons of right understanding come in increasing measure. To achieve a degree of self-surrender to the will of the Master, one must not look up to the deity in its abstract form, but in its human form as the Master. For how else is one to know God's will directly in order to surrender oneself to it? What one may take as an intuition inspired by the divine may really be one's own self speaking in disguise. And one may surrender to such seeming intuitions and therefore surrender to the self or ego. However, if one has found a true master who is attuned to the Lord and is his mouthpiece and obeys him in all things completely and absolutely, he will surely destroy the ego and reach his heavenly home one day. In this world, difficult problems often arise. The disciplined initiates are, however, privileged to view these petty affairs from high and lofty viewpoints of right understanding, considering them to be simply passing phases, and thereby maintaining their mental equilibrium. Persons with weak minds get perturbed and cause further deterioration in their relations, whereas those who are wise enough to understand the basic cause of the difference overlook such happenings. You need not magnify your problems, but try to view things from a high and dispassionate viewpoint, which will keep your nerves calmed down, and others about you will be equally benefited. The spiritual aspirants owe much for others who demand an actual and practical demonstration of truth in their words and deeds. Human life is a great privilege, with many possibilities to develop godhood within. To those who are earnestly yearning for the Lord, opportunities are afforded in the human incarnation to develop spiritually within, under the guidance of a competent master. There is no bar for females attending Satchkhand, as soul is eternal, and there is no gender with it. It is the conscious entity of all consciousness and merges with its source in due course. I am glad the Christmas and birthday messages blessed you with inspiration. The sacred teachings of the Masters are both simple and easy, in theory and practice, provided the higher faculties of mind are harnessed for a higher sublime purpose. An implicit obedience and loving cooperation from the mind of the child disciple is of utmost importance. All else will follow automatically with the grace of the Master. Man by nature is a composite being, the component parts being body, mind, and soul. God made man after his own image, and so the saints instruct us. Be thou perfect as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Thrice blessed is man on account of the immense and immeasurable possibilities that have been lodged in him by the Maker. The very divinity with holy light, life, and love is the very soul of his soul. But alas, what man has made of man, and worse still, of himself? Mind runs away only when the gaze is slackened, so please develop the habit of putting your heart and soul in the work before you, be it worldly affairs or meditation. The habit of doing one thing at a time will help you to progress inwardly from day to day. Master power is always with you and will be extending all feasible help and protection. In fact, the father is waiting with open arms for his child to come up to him. The duties of the world have to be done cheerfully while one is on the physical plane. However, the wonderful gift of God that the Master gives is superb, and the more you practice it, the more you will enjoy it. Necessary help and protection will always be forthcoming. Fixing the gaze penetratingly into the middle of what you see will not let the mind scatter. It runs away only when the gaze is slackened. That's the end of that chapter, and now I'm going to read chapter 7, which is titled General. It is amusing to read that you hear reports of utter demolition of Chicago, New York, and Washington, D.C., and that those living near the Baha'i Temple alone would be saved. This frightens you, and you wonder why good and loving God would demolish places and people like that. God, that is charged with the duty of rewarding the virtuous and punishing the wicked, is just. Justice prevails in his domain. The masters are love personified, and hence mercy and compassion prevail in their sphere of work. You need not feel frightened even if such wholesale demolition takes place, for it will be because of the just laws of the Lord of Justice. And temples, mosques, and other such places will be no exception. But, as said above, you need not be afraid of such things. The master power will surely be taking care of those under his protecting wings. They should therefore develop their inward progress. The master sends them help at every moment. Let them make use of it, considering that the world and the worldly material has to be left behind sooner or later. Man is a social being and has to live in some society. Numbers are no index to wisdom, yet holy places of worship are crowded with them. We need these to be the purest and wisest men of life. The society should live by the law of love, be ruled by the guardians of the moral law, and live a simple, frugal life. I'm not trying to found a sect, but I am after gathering holy men of life, of purity, of simplicity, and loving devotion to God in all, and to all in God. It is of no good to renounce one religion or the other, but to have inner renunciation, like St. Francis and other saints, who renounced everything at heart, but were God-possessed. As for knowledge of God, it is definite and complete science of nature, unchanged since life began on earth. Very rarely does one come across this science. It is God-made and not man-made. It has remained an unrecorded science. There is one God, and there is only one way to him. The elementary steps may be different. The knowledge has both theoretical and practical aspects. The theory is simple. The power, Almighty God, works on a selected human pole to become his mouthpiece, to give his own knowledge to those who long for him and who want to be with him. God is love. Our souls are also love. And the way to God is through love. Soul has to withdraw from the physical body and enter his kingdom through the guidance and help of a practical master or saint, who is love personified. With his guidance, the soul transcends the body and traverses the higher planes. There is a more practical side, too. The master saint is able to give first-hand experience at the very first sitting to all seekers, however little it may be, each according to his or her receptivity, to have inner vision and contact with the inner voice of God that is called Word, the sound principle. This ever-existing inner voice then becomes the guide of man in the interior of his self. It is the master accompanying the disciple at each step on the way inside. Master meets and talks inside in his radiant form and guides the disciple on the inner way up. Contacting a true master is therefore necessary for those wishing to be on the way. Telepathy is transference of thought, and thoughts emanate from the mind, and the mind has to be stilled. Eyes have to be shut from all external views, and the ears closed to all external sounds. The spirit current of the body must be withdrawn to one center. This is done according to the instructions and the experience given at the time of initiation. This, briefly, is what is called spirituality. The science of Paravidya of most ancient days is known today as Sant Mat in India. Hearing of inner music at its lower links by a person is not something unusual. It is the result of reactions of past karmas. It gives some pleasure and joy to the hearer, but he does not know how to develop the process from stage to stage to reach one's true eternal home of everlasting peace, joy, and bliss. This is not at all possible by one's own unaided efforts or through the help of a spiritualist medium who can only call souls of the lower planes. The souls who are under the control of a master soul are altogether inaccessible to mediums. According to the law of sympathy, the apparitions of dead persons may come to a dying person, but will be of no avail or help to the latter, as they are just roamers in the lower strata, and therefore powerless to be of an effectual help. In the case of initiates under the care of the master in all his glory and radiance comes to receive them at the time of their final exit, and places them at higher inner planes in order to ensure further progress on the path. Some of the teachers of theosophy had inner access, and the extent up to which they ascended has been referred to by them in their books. That information is quite useful, inasmuch as it has a testimonial value for an initiate and holds out hope to him or her of the possibility of transcension into higher planes under the loving care and guidance of a genuine master. Their intrinsic worth, therefore, cannot be more than the sayings of others who have gone inside, as recorded in other holy books. Discipleship truly consists in unswerving devotion and resignation to the will and pleasure of the master. By complete resignation, all mental chattering is thrown overboard, and then there are no more cravings or desires. The tumultuous hubbub of the life of the senses is replaced by calm and collected serenity, born of resignation and true renunciation. It is in these silent hours that the spiritual consciousness begins to dawn. Let it be clear to you that you have been put on the most natural and the easiest way to the Absolute God, as given by Swami Shiv Dayal Singh Ji, Baba Jamal Singh Ji, and Baba Sawan Singh Ji, as it does not involve pranas. There is no higher truth than this, so far as known to masters of the highest order. Swami Shiv Dayal Singh said that the master's job is to take you to Sant Nam, and the latter, in turn, is to absorb the soul into the Nameless One and the Absolute God called Radhaswami by Rai Saligramji and accepted by Swami Shiv Dayal Singh Ji. This is called by Guru Nanak and others as Swami, Anami, Mahadayal, or Nirala. The term Radhaswami does not denote any new thing, just another name for the Nameless One. If anyone says it is otherwise, he does not appear to be in full knowledge of the facts. Be rest assured, we are all children of the same Father, the Supreme Reality, called by the Masters by many names. All dear souls who have been entrusted with any of the Master's work are fortunate. They are a privileged staff, but they have a heavy responsibility to discharge. Their actions react on the fair name of the Master's work. So they must be loving, tolerant, cooperative, and imbued with a desire to render selfless service to mankind and be regularly devoted to their meditations. All their kind and noble work has its value and is highly appreciated by the Master overhead. I am glad you are trying to be as helpful as possible to all those who come your way. There are two types of people in the world. First, those who can withdraw, introvert, and take inspiration directly from the great power within. Secondly, those who depend on outer aids, like churches or temples, for worship. They try to seek inspiration from the great forces of nature, like the sun, the moon, the snow-covered hilltops, waters of sacred rivers, as different manifestations of the one power behind the entire universe. Everyone, according to his faith and degree of concentration, receives some benefit from his mode of worship, for nothing is lost in nature, and no effort goes in vain. The truly yearning hearts are led to the living Master with his grace. The sacred teachings of the Masters have a positive approach and are universal in their design and decorum. All are cordially invited to share the same without any distinction of color, creed, or country. I shall be glad to assist all true seekers after truth who may be lovingly directed to write to me about their welfare. I am glad to find that people attended the bi-monthly satsangs despite the inclement weather, even though the attendance was comparatively small. It does not matter, as the quantity does not count as much as the quality. The latter is of great importance. Your loving and cooperative efforts will be blessed with increasing attendance, and the sincere ones will be rewarded for their flawless devotion and determination. Initiation is preordained. Those who are ordained to receive it in this life get it, and not otherwise. I very much appreciate the love and devotion you have for me. Heart goes out of heart, and it is the heart which receives the impulses. As regards the physical ailments, it is better to do your best and leave the rest to the Master overhead. Please try to devote your regular time to the spiritual practices in an accurate way, and it will help you both physically and spiritually. Each one has to bear the burden of his individual karma. That is the law. As you sow, so shall you reap. We are hearing of experiments of all kinds. The atom bomb, hydrogen bomb, rockets and missiles are reaching the moon. The world seems to be in a frantic race, outwitting one another nation-wise, as is apparent. The way of the initiates is, however, crystal clear. They are to attune themselves with the God power. And as God is love, they will be radiating their vibration of love to all. They are under the protective care of Master Power overhead, and need have no fear about their physical bodies. It is a covering and has to be shaken off sooner or later. You have imbibed the sacred truth, which will, in turn, be an inspiration to others for bettering their lot with the grace of the Master. You have received the crown of life, which adds to your gratitude, thereby unfolding new thoughts for you. Assimilation of holy shabd in fullness will grant untold strength of the soul, which will shine in radiance for the benefit of others. I am glad for your speedy and miraculous recovery from recent illness. The faithfully obedient and disciplined devotees pass off such physical ordeals cheerfully and remain unscathed. As you have been accepted, you need not worry. It will not be long now. The experience you had is a testimony to the grace of the Master, who is working overhead. This gives consolation to the newcomers on the way. You may rest assured, everything will be all right with the grace of the Master. Try to do one thing at a time. If you exercise discipline in all of your affairs, your progress will not be retarded by any amount of extra responsibilities you may have. Try to put in regular hours undisturbed by any thoughts of the material things about you. Your example shall shine like a torch in the darkness, and then even those who may at first oppose you will turn to you for guidance and help. You will find a new sense of peace surging through you, a peace that does not depend on the absence of outer disturbances, but is an inner state of mind that stands unshaken even in the most tempestuous situations. Your growing aversion to worldly pleasures is another step forward toward your spiritual progress under the protective guidance of the Master. One must be in the world, attending to the duties and obligation assigned to him or her, but one should do these in a very detached manner. Such an attitude will not be binding, but will become a source of liberation and blissful harmony with the grace of the Master. There is no need to dread any catastrophe that may occur. The souls who are on the way are being and will be looked after and extended all feasible help by the Master Power working over them. The world affairs are not too good, but the initiate's duty is clear. They have their ideal before them, and they should continually and lovingly work for it. Regardless of what occurs, the initiates have a privilege. They have the Master Power working over their heads. He is constantly looking after their benefit and extends all feasible help and grace. Please do not worry if everything is shaken all over the country. Such things do happen. The Master Power will be extending all feasible help and protection to the dear loving souls. If any of the dear ones should stray and will not accept the great love and protection that the Master always extends to his children, they will delay their own spiritual progress, and mere change of residence will be of no avail. Although the times are growing more difficult from day to day, and evil prevails on the surface of the earth because man has forgotten God, it is an opportunity for the initiates to be faithful to their spiritual practices and make steady progress within, because therein lies their safety, and that will not only help them, but will help others as well. When a candle is lit, it should not be placed in an obscure place or under a bushel, but instead it should be placed at such a place where it may shed light for the blind and world-weary children who seek their way to the true home of their Father through the gracious guidance of the Living Master. No work can be loftier or contains more grandeur than that of helping the struggling souls find a way to their true home so that their endless struggle may come to an end. I am sorry for the passing away of your precious brother, who was much loved by you. He was a loving soul and met with a glorious end, leaving behind a legacy for the dear ones, which will serve as an inspiration for the initiates and others. You should rest assured that he has been fully taken care of in the beyond, and his broad smile before passing away is a gesture of his gratitude, which he confirmed fully that the Master was with him. Your experience of seeing him climbing the ladder, full of robust optimism, is a positive proof that he is enjoying perpetual bliss in the beyond, the eternal home of his Father. I'll stop there. This reading was from Spiritual Elixir Part 2, and first I was reading Mind and Soul, and then I started reading the section entitled General. Thank you, Master.
And thank you for reading for us, Marcia. There were 48 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So on Master Teresa, they say you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He's waiting for you within you.